there?
Yes.
I'm still there.
Okay, go ahead, please. You're on the air.
Thank you. Good morning, Wayne, and good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
In every country where communism takes over, the people are running for their lives.
That's true.
Not only well-to-do, but everyone who is lucky to get away. So why communism is good? Is it good for the people? Is that the reason why they are running away? And talking about nationalizing.
Well, I would like to answer you, Miss or Mrs., on this question. I had this question put to
just
me
a few years ago
over the radio.
Please, let me...
No, I want to answer this question because...
I didn't ask for your answer right now.
Well, I would like his answer, caller, and then you can go on to your next point, okay?
Yes.
We're very rude to other callers. So don't be rude to me.
Well, I'd like an answer on this point because I think it's an important question that you raise and a very valid one. So if you just hang on a moment. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, well, what I was going to say is that, yes, some people want to leave the Soviet Union. I don't know how many. But it's also true to say that many, many people from other countries in Europe leave their countries to come to Canada. This country is filled up with people that came from the British, from the Great Britain. They come from Germany. They come from all parts of Europe, and now they come from Asia and every other country. They came here because they think they can make more money, and I suppose those who want to leave the Soviet Union want to come here for the same reason. They want to make more money, or they think there's gold on the streets.
They're running for their lives like I did.
They're not running for their lives because no one's killing them.
Like I did. I ran for my life.
Yeah, you did.
What happened in your case, ma'am?
Well, I'd rather not go to it unless you can track me down.
Well, I'm not a question of tracking you down, but I've had such cases before of people making wild statements that are not based on fact. And they think that prejudice is enough to get them by and that people will support them because they don't like the Soviet Union. Therefore, everything is bad in the Soviet Union. This is President Reagan's line, the evil empire. And where has it got the world?
May I have a word now?
Go ahead, please.
Yes.
Thank you. Talking about nationalization, in 1940... when the Russians took over the Baltic states, in weeks' time, the businesses were rationalized. We had no more food. We had no more clothing. Either they were big or small, it didn't matter. Our homes were nationalized. Bicycles. Radios, we had to give up the radios. They took our watches, farms.
Did they take your teeth, too? Did they take your teeth?
I beg your pardon?
Did they take your teeth also? Did they take your gold teeth?
You're silly.
Hmm?
You are a very silly guy.
Well, I'm not very silly because I think the questions you ask are silly questions, and I feel I can reciprocate in kind.
So they took my watch from my wrist. Yes, it's true. They put us five people in one room. They took away everything what belongs. Even the frying pan. My mom was frying something in the frying pan. The Russian woman, she came in, she dumped out, she said, that doesn't belong to you anymore. This belongs to the state. That's what they did. And do you think I can be kind to you?
That's not true.
That's
not
true.
I've been to Estonia, to Lithuania.
Come on.
To Latvia.
I am one of
I haven't seen any nude people walking around. I have seen some nude people walking around in Canada, but I haven't seen any nudists in these countries.
Just a minute.
I've seen people who are working and producing very fine articles that are being sold both in the Soviet Union and outside the Soviet Union.
Okay, but Bill, the woman has told us a story here of something that has happened to her.
It may. No, I've checked on such stories before. And
you don't think she's telling the truth?
No, I don't think so, no.
Don't you believe that, for instance, in June 14th of 1941, from Baltic states, 66,000 people were deported to Siberia, including children and even newborn babies. Most of those people died.
Well, were you there? How do you know that they died? Were you there? How do you know they died?
Yes, I was.
You were there? You were there?
Mr. Cashton.
There. I was there then. The second time when they came in.
You're being utterly evasive. And I think you're not acknowledging the woman's experience.
I think
this stems back to a question you were asked right off at the start of the show that you refused to answer. And you said to the first caller that the Soviet Union is not communist. Mr. Cashton, what is it?
Well, as I said, it's not communist because they don't say they're communist themselves. They're still at a stage of socialism. There are two stages of development of society after capitalism. The stage of socialism
and then the higher stage of communism. Then in your opinion, what is communism then and what is its purpose? And what makes it different from the Soviet socialist republics?
because they haven't yet reached that stage in which there is sufficient abundance so that everyone can get everything that they need.
Have you ever seen a socialist system anywhere to have reached a stage where it could provide people with abundance? Let's look at the difference between the United States and the Soviet Union.
Well,
you yourself say that the United States...
Apparently you don't notice the number of places that people go to now to get food, eh? That's about this country. There are 75 cities in this country that people have to go to in order to get food. Do you know about that fact?
In which country are you speaking?
I'm speaking of Canada. Do you know this fact? Do you know
the
fact?
You're talking about poor people in Canada?
Yeah, well...
I'm not denying poor people exist.
Well, why don't
you
speak about it?
Poor people exist because that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking you...
No, but that is germane to the question you're asking.
I'm asking you, what system produces goods and services best to meet the needs of its people? The only system that can do that is a system that rewards people for doing it. And you have this incredible dream, and I'm afraid that's all it is. It's a dream in which a society can exist where everyone serves everyone else. And it's a thing, you know, you're either serving your own self-interest or you're serving the self-interest of someone else. In either case, it's self-interest at work. But which system works best? The system that works best is the one where the person who puts the effort into some enterprise gets the results from it. That is the meaning
Do you think that's the way that Conrad Black and the Belzberg brothers and the Rathmann brothers became multimillionaires? You think that's the way
to
they became
multimillionaires?
To a great
extent, yes. They had
the freedom. Out of the sweat of their brow?
And it's unfortunate we live in a country now where it's harder for the small person to become a Conrad Black.
Okay, gentlemen, let me give our caller the last word here.
Well, there's another thing. Why those people who are running away from communism, why they are going to the capitalist countries? Not for that reason, which your guest stated.
No,
money. They think they can do better.
Well, certainly. But here they have the freedom to do so, and there they don't.
No, they have the freedom to be unemployed. They have the freedom to be poverty-stricken. They have the freedom to be hungry.
You don't know what...
Or they can be unemployed in a slave state.
They have the freedom to be homeless.
All those things exist in every society. You have to compare the worst with the worst in each society. You have to compare the best with the best.
We have some messages and more callers coming up when we...
When you want to find out more about Freedom Party, phone area code 519-433-8612 or write to Freedom Party of Ontario, Post Office Box 2214, Station A, London, Ontario, N6A4E3.
We are going back to the phones now at 433-3121. Let's talk to our next guest here. Hello, Tom. You're on the air.
This is not Tom.
Well, who is this?
I didn't want to give my name.
Okay, go ahead. Be anonymous. What's your comment today?
First, I'd like to say I was going to call Mr. Cashton, but I've been so upset with his remarks to most of the callers that I'm going to call him damn socialist pig, okay?
Why do you want to abuse my guest like that?
He's abusing your callers like that. I've been really upset with his remarks, you know? Okay.
What about the issues?
Okay, I'm going to get to an issue. What does he think about the Russians invading Afghanistan? I want to know his comments on that.
Why should I answer to your stupidities?
Should I talk to your stupidity?
Okay, let's... Gentlemen,
that's enough for you. If you want to speak to Mr. Metz, go ahead and speak.
What about the Afghanistan invasion?
I will answer that to somebody else, not to this...
answer it to me.
This so-called pig, I refuse to deal with it.
I would like to...
Well, it's obvious you're thick-skinned and not exactly astute.
No, I would like to ask you, what is your response to the invasion of Afghanistan?
Well, I suppose you know as well as anybody else that there are negotiations on presently for an agreement that would result in the withdrawal of the Soviet troops from Afghanistan. And once this agreement is reached and respect is achieved of the government and of the country, then there's no problem. The fact that it isn't being yet settled is because the United States has decided to go all out in the assistance to these the countries in Afghanistan, and now are supplying them with the latest weapons of destruction. And the result of it will mean that there will be no settlement and the war will continue and people will lose their lives.
Okay. Caller, last word to you.
I can't understand what he's thinking about right there. These people... Russia invaded Afghanistan for no reason. He has not explained a reason. All he's telling me is that America is to blame for this. and I can't understand why America is to blame.
Well, if the United States were to agree to see that the settlement is achieved, the settlement would be achieved. They want the war to continue. That's why they're arming the counter-revolutionaries.
It's
as simple as that, and if
no
you don't see
to.
That, you don't
there
see
there wouldn't have
much.
Been a settlement by America if you didn't invade. Think about that.
Thank you very much for your call.
Thanks a lot, Wayne. May I make a comment, Wayne? The accusation repeatedly comes up that the United States is responsible for the conflicts that arise in the world. And indirectly, I guess you could say that's true, but for the oddest of reasons. The reason that the Soviets fear the United States and all other socialist and totalitarian countries fear the U.S. is because the United States is free. It's because they know that if their citizens had the same freedom as the citizens of the United States did, that they would choose to trade freely with each other, that they would choose to exchange ideas with each other, that they would choose to live happy, prosperous lives, which does not meet the needs or the ends of Soviet and socialist and communist purposes. And this is what I really want. What is the purpose of communism? If you read Marxist stuff, you find out what they want to do is to put, to create all of society into a working class, and the state controls the working class.
Okay.
This
you
won't be a solution.
You want
to
an intelligent reply to this, I suppose.
I haven't had one yet today, but it would be nice to have one.
No, but I'm listening to you, and I must say that you represent certain ideas and certain interests that don't correspond with the reality of our country.
But, Mr. Cashin, you said once between commercials that you weren't interested in my point of view, and I don't really expect you to agree with me. That's not why we're here.
I know that.
You should be very interested in my point of view, because it's my point of view that presents you with your problems and getting your point of view across.
No, it doesn't present me with any problems.
No, could you move into the microphone?
It doesn't present me with any problems, because the fact of the matter is that it's capitalism that presents you with problems, because it's capitalism that destroys free enterprise.
Capitalism is free enterprise. They're one and the same system.
Well, you don't really
understand. You're speaking of possibly capitalism or capitalism.
You don't understand the world we live in.
Our society is a mixed economy. It's neither capitalist completely nor socialist completely.
Well, it's not
we
social,
have elements
it's
of
not
both,
socialist at all.
And all the problem areas are the areas in which socialism creeps in. Read the papers every day.
You don't
read about some guy
it's
down
very
in the little shop
trading to discuss with a mind that is not clear and understands. What is the actual situation in our country?
Okay.
When there is a high degree of monopolization of this country, both with respect to the banks and the economy, the press, the radios, the TVs, and everything else.
Who monopolizes that? Who monopolizes all that?
Well, it's
the government.
The government of Norway? You mean they own that?
They don't own it. They control it. You've got a CRTC.
How do they control it?
Through laws and regulations.
And you oppose any laws and regulations except those that are put on the backs of the people?
I agree with laws and regulations that create a framework for voluntary action and
that
bans force from human relations.
Yes, I agree with that.
And
force is used, as we saw in Edmonton, by the courts, by the police, by everybody else to...
It depends what they use it for. You don't just say force is bad. It depends whether it's used to defend yourself or whether
in other words, you qualify
for it.
Now you're changing your
position. Very much so.
Using force in your favor.
Time out,
right?
Gentlemen.
Yes.
We're going to talk about free trade for a couple of minutes, probably the biggest issue that confronts this nation at this particular time. Mr. Kashtan, the leader of the Communist Party, has a particular point of view, or many, on this subject. Could you tell us what you feel is wrong with free trade and what you think will happen to Canada if this takes place?
Well, there are two things, at least in a brief way, that is wrong with the free trade program. First of all, it will create larger unemployment than is the case today. And we can really see that in the shingle and shanks business.
And shingles and shanks,
yes.
Yeah.
I know that. I'm misusing the word.
Mm-hmm.
And we may see it also in the negotiations around lumber,
right?
Which may lead to large-scale unemployment and perhaps bring a death knell to the economy in British Columbia, which is based largely on lumber. So that is one of the first blows of free trade.
Okay.
And there will be considerable unemployment because there will be dislocation of industry, particularly manufacturing, in different parts of the country. The Canadian Labour Congress had estimated at one time there may be 1 million workers losing their jobs.
Now, how do
In Ontario, there's an estimate of 150 or more thousand workers who will lose their jobs.
But these are estimates. How do we know for sure this will take place?
But it's not... Well, let me finish. So secondly, by virtue of free trade, Canada's independence and sovereignty will be seriously undermined. So that from two standpoints, Free trade is not an option that Canada should pursue. It should pursue a policy that it had traditionally pursued of multilateral trade.
Mm-hmm.
Trade with all countries to with mutual advantage to each one of them. This one means that Canada will eventually become subordinated under the complete control of the United States, be dominated by it, and will be unable to exercise its policies in economic affairs, in foreign affairs, or any other affairs. It had been said that by Prime Minister Mulroney that some things won't be on the table. But we see who decides the questions. President Reagan has said everything will be on the table, and everything is on the table. That includes the Auto Pact, which now seems to be under threat. It includes Canadian culture, which seems to be under threat. It includes economic policy, which seems to be under threat. It includes the rights of the provinces, in which they can decide what will happen or not happen in their own provinces. One of the main efforts of the Reagan administration is to take away these provincial rights so they have an open door to the provinces.
All right.
From all these standpoints, we see no good in such a policy, and we think the Canadian people should demand that it be changed. And if it isn't changed, they should demand that the government be replaced by a government that will pursue an entirely different set of policies.
You know as well as anyone that they are our biggest trading partner as far as our exports are concerned. You also know, I'm sure, of the tremendous wave of protectionism that is sweeping through the United States Congress and the United States Senate. And if we don't make a deal of some sort with the Americans and these protectionist measures continue to increase and expand, then aren't we going to be in the long run, Mr. Cashdan, a lot worse off than we would have been under a free trade agreement of some sort?
No, I think a different set of policies need to be pursued, and these are the policies we've been pressing for, and I think more and more Canadians will support them, and including political parties who perhaps will begin to have another look at their positions. I noticed that Mr. Turner now says that he's opposed to free trade. The NDP seems to be taking a position that moves in the same direction. I think there are some conservatives who also fear the consequences of free trade, because it is rather clear that the Conservative Party, which is the party that pushed a national policy on Canada, that helped to develop Canada as an independent state, now pursues an entirely different policy which will undermine the independence of Canada. And that's by the nature of things.
Okay, when we come back, we'll hear from Robert Metz of the Freedom Party and his views on free trade.
The law perverted, and the police powers of the state perverted along with it. The law, I say, not only turned from its proper purpose, but made to follow an entirely contrary purpose. The law become the weapon of every kind of greed. Instead of checking crime, the law itself guilty of the evils it is supposed to punish. If this is true, it is a serious fact, and moral duty requires me to call the attention of my fellow citizens to it. Those words were written by Frederick Bastiat in 1850. That statement is as valid today as the day it was written. Freedom Party has a limited supply of Mr. Bastiat's book, The Law, available now.
Okay, Bob Metz, we've listened to what Bill Cashdan has had to say about free trade. He's concerned about losing our independence and sovereignty, and mainly concerned about hundreds of thousands of jobs being lost as a result of it. We have examples in the shingles and shakes. We have examples with BC Lumber. Your position as a president of a political party, what's your position on free trade?
Well, first of all, I have to go back to a comment that Mr. Cashin said. He said instead of favoring free trade with the United States, that he favored trade with all countries to mutual advantage. Well, that's the definition of free trade. Because you aren't going to trade with somebody if you're going to be a loser in the deal. If it's free, that means you're there to make the choice. And if you're going into a transaction and you're going to come out the loser, Are you going to go ahead with it? It's self-evident that this is the case.
Okay, but how do we stop people from losing their jobs if we go ahead? What's your response to that?
Okay, well, the situation is this. You cannot stop. There will be people hurt. In industries that have been formally protected, when you get into a free trade agreement, the protection's off. Now, I'm not advocating an overnight return to free trade. You have to give some of these people adjustments, because the problem they got into was caused not by themselves directly, although they are responsible to a great degree. But the fact is, when the marketplace is saying that there's no demand for a certain good, or that the trade factors aren't there that should be there in order to make an enterprise viable, you'd better be getting that message, because if you aren't getting it, you're going to make some wrong decisions. And that's what happens in certain industries. And, for example, when the oil prices went up so highly during the 70s, the marketplace was telling car manufacturers, listen, make smaller cars. There's going to be an oil glut. And yet the government protected the car manufacturers.
All right, so you do admit that we're going to see jobs lost. Canadians,
yes,
are... Okay. What about the sovereignty and the independence aspect that Bill Cashdan is so worried about?
Let's take his argument to its logical conclusion. If it's not correct to trade with our neighboring countries or countries around, then it must equally be, if self-sufficiency is the answer, let's put up border crossings between all our provinces. Let's set up a line outside the city of London.
There are such...
I mean trade barriers.
Canada,
sorry,
doesn't have an internal common market. That's part of the problems of Canadian development.
Well, isn't that interesting that you see that we need free trade locally, but you don't see the argument on a national scale? It's no different.
Because this has to do between the Canadian people. This has to do in relationship
to
another
country. So you're nationalist. Now we're nationalist socialism. I heard that somewhere before. I think it was 1939.
Don't be stupid. If you want to have a rational discussion...
Working people are
concerned at the fact they're going to lose their jobs, and all you can do is play with words. What sort of serious position has your party got? It hasn't got
a
serious position.
People who need jobs...
It hasn't
jobs,
got it, except a general statement of words.
People who need jobs need opportunities. Opportunities are not created by government intervention.
What will you do about the unemployed who are presently unemployed? What will you do about the young
generation? When I was unemployed, I went and got a new job.
Yes.
But you see, there's a mentality here that if you are a certain type of laborer, let's say you're a widget maker,
you used that example before.
Yeah,
How about another example?
Any example would do. Put any word in for widget. Yes. I just use it as an abstract example so people can put their own...
That's the word Monopoly uses, which I notice you follow. Yes, go ahead.
Like I said earlier, I don't agree with monopolies. Every monopoly that exists gets its jurisdiction by government.
You have to have a definite position on questions of concern to the
Canadian
people.
Who is hurt by trade barriers?
You don't have any definite position. Why don't you admit it?
I have a very definite position, but who's most hurt by trade barriers? You have the poor who have to pay higher prices for goods that they could otherwise receive. You have consumers who have to pay higher prices for than they would otherwise have to pay on a free market. Wherever you have competition, somebody out of all that mix offer you a better deal at a better price and a better product.
All of this, at the end, Bob, has to do with whether Canada will continue to function as an entity.
Isn't Canada's purpose as an entity to keep us free?
Isn't it going to be free if the United States will take over the economy in total?
The United States doesn't threaten us.
It's not a question of threat. It's a question of economic control and domination.
They don't economically control us. We create a mutual advantage. It's not control.
No.
That's like saying the shopkeeper's customers control him. That's true in the economic sense. But it's not a political control. There's no one there telling the shopkeeper what he's got to do. Forces that come from nature or forces that come from economics are entirely different things. If you were a man alone on an island without any social system at all, you'd still be subject to them. And no one has an obligation to you as a result of it. Political force is another thing. A political force is an arbitrary third party.
I don't know what you're
saying.
We're having a discussion on free trade, and you haven't come to grips.
That's what it's all about, Mr.
Cashman. It isn't all about it at all. You're evading the question.
There are
negotiations on presently, and the upshot could have disastrous effects for the Canadian people and for the Canadian economy. And you're evading what to do about it. You have no answers.
Let's get down to a specific example. You're opposed to free trade, correct?
What we're opposed to is the kind of free trade that will result in the auto pact being eliminated, and the result which the cultural forces in Canada will be eliminated.
What is the cultural force?
The result
force?
In which the economy will be strengthened.
What's
at the expense
force?
Of Canadian independence.
Define that word. What's the
I'm speaking
force?
Of culture in general. I'm using the term.
See, what he's after, Bob, is he wants you to be specific with specific policies according to the terms of free trade and what he sees
as specific policies. He keeps looking at individual sectors of the marketplaces, though some of them deserve more consideration than others. That certainly isn't the philosophy of a person who believes in equality. The point is, my stand is very explicit. I believe in total free trade with everyone.
I don't know what equality
is. That's the only way we can benefit in the long term. You're talking abstractions, really.
You know. Okay.
There's no abstraction in my freedom to be able to buy a product from a person who I might know in the United States. What right does another person have to come in and say, you can't trade with John Smith, who lives in Alabama. You can't exchange this idea with Joan, someone or other, who lives in California. What right do you or anyone else have to tell me that?
I don't have that right, but...
You like it.
Other forces have that right and are doing exactly that.
Yes. I agree with you. And if you admit that they're...
Time, gentlemen. Time. Caller, go ahead, please. Thank you for waiting, Dan.
Oh, yes. I have a few questions for Mr. Cashton.
Okay.
Right.
They may be... The one question is a little personal. I just wondered, could I ask you how old you are, sir?
Does it matter?
Well, what I'm getting is, could I ask you what you used to do for a living or what you do now for a living?
You don't have to answer, Bill. I don't see the relevance, really, frankly, Dan, of your question.
Okay, could I ask another question? Do you consider yourself a true communist?
As far as I know, I've been a member of the Communist Party for quite a number of years.
Okay, do you own your
own... I don't know what you mean about a true communist.
Well, I don't know what a true communist...
Yes, sir, why do you use that phrase?
Well, what I'm trying to get is, do you own your own home or business?
Well, we did have a house. We sold it because the wife wanted to live in an apartment.
I see. Well...
What is the point that you want to make, Dan?
What I'm trying to get at is that if you are a true communist, do you not believe in total state control, and yet you said you used to own your own home?
No, we don't advocate total state control. I don't know where you got that idea. I never said that, and our party has never said that, so why do you say it?
Well...
If the press says that, then you have to ask yourself, why does the press distort the truth?
Well, what I'm trying to get is that you seem so afraid of total capitalistic-type monopolies, so really...
I'm not afraid of them. What I'm concerned with, their effect on the livelihood of the Canadian people in terms of jobs, in terms of standards, in terms of pricing. Monopoly control means that they can demand the maximum price that they're able to get.
True.
And to ignore the what was considered the law of supply and demand of capitalism, which now has ceased to operate.
Well, that's true. We have laws in this country.
Yeah, well, I'm speaking of a natural law, not of a law in the legislative form. That's a law of capitalism, the law of supply and demand. It's not operating now.
Well, would you not agree with me in a total state control? They can set prices and...
Yes, they could if it were total state control, but we don't advocate total state control. What we propose is that measures be taken, first of all, as I said at the beginning of our program here this morning, is that we would propose to undertake, and hopefully with the support of the Canadian people, the nationalization of United States branch plants, other corporations and banks, in order to ensure that Canada could regain control over its economy and decide its affairs in its own way. That would be the first step.
Last word to you, Dan.
Well, what I still keep portraying this communist type party where the state has total control over the people, and yet my point of view is that communism is on its last legs. Communism creates laziness, productional fall. The only way we're going to get ahead in this world is through the capitalistic type society.
Well, that's your point of view, and I respect it, but as you can see by events in the world, the geography shows that capitalism is declining and the ideas of change, fundamental change, is growing.
Dan, thank you very much for your call. Al, you're on the air.
Mr. Cashton.
Yes, sir.
I am a first-generation Canadian and very concerned about the future of our great country. And I am, like you, to comment further on the free trade debate that is threatening our independence, in my opinion. I've been waiting on hold since about 7 minutes after nine.
Well, we did, I want to explain, we did call this caller back after 10 o'clock because we indicated it might be a little longer, so you've only been on hold a few minutes now. What is your specific question then for Mr. Cashdan?
On the question of free trade.
Yeah.
And its effect on our country.
Which he's just discussed at length a few moments ago. Is there something...
Oh. If I had got on the air sooner, it wouldn't have to be discussed. But let us speak on the question of peace, then.
Yes, well... First, on the question of free trade, I can understand the concern of Canadians, and if the Gallup poll is correct, from a high point of 78% some time ago, now it's declined to 54% of Canadians who think free trade is a good thing. And in my view, it will keep on declining because more and more Canadians now realize that the end result of free trade is nothing but calamitous for Canada, for the Canadian people.
What is the reason for the drop?
Because more Canadians really had the illusion, honestly held, that this would be good for them and be good for Canada. And now they realize it's not good for them and it's not good for Canada. That's why they're turning their backs on it. And Prime Minister Mulroney is in a bit of a spot now. And he's trying to wiggle out of it because he's changed his position. Before he said free trade, then he said fair trade, then he said freer trade, then he said comprehensive trade. He's developing all kinds of titles, plus the last one on which he put forward the view that, well, we want something similar to the Auto Pact in Ontario. Well, that's a stupid point to make because, first of all, the United States isn't going to agree to it. Why should they agree to that kind of a pact? What will they get out of it? Their agreement on free trade with Canada is to get something out of it,
okay.
Not to help Canada.
Al, last word to you.
Well, on the question of peace, we are concerned, as I'm sure most Canadians are, that the course of events that are being shaping up could threaten the world with a nuclear catastrophe. And we strive to get the support of the majority of Canadians for a policy that would change that course.
And get us out of NATO?
Well, that may eventually be the situation. We don't advocate it now because we appreciate the fact that Canadians are divided on this matter. We don't press that as the immediate question. At some time it will come up.
Right. Do you think that there's any room in your particular, your party's point of view, for some sort of alliance with the U.S. for protection, for defense?
Yes, we don't oppose that. We think that the kind of alliance that Canada has with the United States via NORAD is very dangerous to Canada, and more Canadians now realize, including Americans.
Why is it dangerous?
Because it's an open door for the United States Reagan Star War program directed against the Soviet Union, other socialist countries, and it's too much to expect that the Soviet Union and other socialist countries will turn their cheek and say, yeah, hit me again.
And what happens if those countries embark on a program to...
Well, they haven't up to now.
I understand that they have been doing research in this area, that they are
They've done research in peaceful ways, and the Soviet Union has made that clear, and no country, including Reagan's country, and including President Reagan, has said that the Soviet Union has embarked on a military program. The Soviet Union has undertaken exploration of space for peaceful purposes, and what it proposes... And its latest set of proposals is there be an international peace organization established to which all countries could be part and all benefit from space exploration.
Edward, you're on the air and not much time. Go ahead, please.
My question is, why Mr. Keston, he's opposing the trade with the United States?
I'm not opposing trade with the United States. I'm opposing the approach to trade, which is free trade rather than trade on a mutually advantageous basis. Free trade means to completely integrate the Canadian economy with that of the United States. And it would be to the disadvantage of Canada because the United States has 200 million people or so. Canada has 25 million people or so.
But if we come to an agreement established by someone else, isn't that an integration as well? All you're saying is that individuals in Canada cannot trade with individuals in the United States.
I haven't said that. I haven't said that. What I said to Bruce, here we're having discussions between two governments, not between, let's say, INCO in Canada and some other body
of
states.
That's wrong. It shouldn't be that way.
But that's the way it is. That's the way the game operates.
But you're advocating more of it.
Well, that's the nature of the game that you will have.
What game are you playing?
Well, what did you have GATT, just a general agreement on trade and tariffs that exists on a world scale within the capitalist world by and large, So they try and work out certain rules that will be advantageous to each one of them and collectively.
Right.
Without that, you might get back again into a trade war.
But doesn't that integrate their economies? You said one of the problems of trading is integration of an economy. You're getting the economy integrated in either case. What you're taking away, though, is the choice of those individual companies, the choice of the individual people.
No, there's not a choice of individuals.
The
choice will be made by the governments that come to agreements, and they, of course, will have the input of the companies.
But you support that, don't you? You support that.
We don't support free trade because
not free trade, though. You said that wasn't free trade.
You're misjudging free trade. You're playing with a word, the question of free trade.
Well, don't call it free trade. Call it my right to trade with someone in another country.
I'm not dealing with your right because it has nothing to do with your right. You have no rights in this matter. And you have no possibilities in this matter because you have laws between two countries, definite laws, and the laws of the United States were such as to eliminate shingles and shakes.
So your argument is because we have a wrong in our society, we should accept it and continue on.
Well, why did you say that you propose to eliminate all tariffs? Then I can understand.
You haven't said it yet.
Is that what you propose?
What do you think free trade is? You think free trade means having tariffs?
Yeah.
You do say, though, that all tariffs should be eliminated.
Most definitely.
Okay.
Tariffs are...
We will be back. Wayne, not much time. Go ahead, please.
Wayne, it's a good program, Wayne, and I wanted to ask Mr. Capstan, is Russia an example of communism? And if so, why did they sign the Helsinki Accord and they won't let people emigrate? There's a restriction on travel. Freedom of movement.
Okay, we've only got about 60 seconds.
I said before, and I'll repeat, the Soviet Union is not a communist state.
Okay.
It's at the first stages of socialist development, and when it reaches a further maturity, it will have advanced to a stage of communism, but that's not yet the situation.
Okay.
It signed the Helsinki Accord.
So if you think things are bad now, wait till the future.
And it abides by the accord. And will continue to do so because it's in the interest of all countries to ensure that there will be no war. And that's the main purpose of the accord, to establish confidence, mutual confidence between countries.
We're out of time right there. Wayne, we'll have to thank you for your call. We've only got a few seconds left to go. Bill Cashton, thank you very much for joining us today. It's been, from my point of view, a very intriguing program and somewhat enlightening as well.
I hope so.
And Bob Metz...
I'm sorry if I raise my voice from time to time, but you see, as I said earlier, you have two choices here. Either go along with statements of people which are not true, or answer them, and sometimes you have to be sharp. Because if people accept lies that are being spread, it isn't their own ideas that they got. It's what they read in the press, what they got over the air.
Okay, we are out of time, Bill. Yes. Bob Metz, thank you very much for coming in. Always
thank
a pleasure.
Thank you for inviting me, Wayne.
We'll be back on Monday with more Hotline. This is Wayne McLean, Southwestern Ontario. Thank you.
But the true worth and value of the capitalist system was ultimately expressed by Cashin himself during a press conference which followed his debate with Metz. Our aim is to win everything from that system that we can, then end it. The hypocrisy inherent in wishing to reap the benefits of a social system that one despises speaks for itself. Thus, in his own way, Cashin has paid tribute to capitalism and freedom, an acknowledgement that even transcended his own blind hatred of the system. We sincerely hope that Mr. Cashton continues his communist crusade in the manner he has adopted. No other testimonial could be more effective or convincing as to the merits of capitalism. We hope you've enjoyed this Voice of Freedom tape. And remember, there are other tapes available in this series for your education and listening pleasure.